Our scripture for this morning is taken from the sixth chapter of John, toward the end of the chapter. The book of John is a wonderful proclamation of the Lordship of Christ and of Jesus as the Son of God and Jesus as Savior. And Jesus has a lot to say about that John recorded. This is one of those things. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." May the Lord add his rich blessings to our hearing and our reading of the Word. Perhaps you were here last week, probably sitting there in the same seat as last week. And maybe you remember I spoke last week of you having a bit of recall that a couple of Sundays ago, I began a new multi-week series of messages on words or names Jesus used to describe himself as the Son of God, as the Messianic Savior that had long been promised to the people of God in the Jewish Holy Writings, in their scriptures. Two Sundays ago, I spoke of Jesus as the Way. That's capital W. The Way. Then last Sunday, do you recall? It was Jesus Christ as the door. So you see, as you look in your bulletin there, as you see it, you see that the reading from our text from John 6 very plainly names Jesus. He is the door. He is the bread. He is other names. Those are one-word names Jesus used to describe himself. He himself assigned descriptive names, metaphors, or terms of familiar one-word analogies. And next week, I'm going to finish out this very brief series of messages with Jesus describing himself as life. So this is Jesus as he names himself, the way, the door, the bread, the life. And that's simply just a few of the metaphorical descriptions of Jesus. There are really very many. The Apostle John passed on to us in his beloved fourth gospel many of those descriptive names Jesus used for himself. John ended up living for a long time ministering in the great Gentile city of Ephesus, where Greek culture was dominant. The Greeks, you know, loved to argue. They loved to communicate, to discuss. And John's mission, as he saw it and as he wrote it, was to serve the eternal Father God by effectively communicating the coming, the incarnation of the Father's Son, Jesus the Christ, the Jewish prophesied Messiah. And John's written gospel does just that. it effectively conveys the good news of Jesus, the way, the door, the bread, the life, who came to the people of this earth as the Savior, not only one of the Jews, but all of the world. And I refer you to John 3:16, of course, when you think of Jesus coming to all the world. John followed the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, writing the announcement that the eternal God had entered time and space. The invisible God had become visible. The spiritual had become physical in Jesus of Nazareth. And the Creator had become a living part of His own creation. He proclaimed Jesus as the very language of God, in which God was seeking to communicate with people concerning Himself, concerning the nature of humanity, concerning the purpose for life, and concerning the meaning of eternity. John has proclaimed Jesus as the very light of the world that dispels darkness and gives so much illumination to chaos that it dispels, it disappears. Well, see, there's another word, light. And I could put together a message on Jesus as the light. But I've already told you the series ends next week, and I'll pick up on that one another time. Today, for us now, John presents Jesus Christ as the living bread from heaven that supports and sustains life. He's not a medicine that prevents disease. He's not a cake enjoyed for dessert. He's not a candy that's enjoyed for its sheer sweetness. He is the bread of life, bread that is essential for life. In this great chapter of our text for today, chapter 6, concerning Jesus as the bread of life, effectively follows real soon after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, five loaves of bread broken into food, enough to feed those 5,000 and more, and running over. 12 baskets full, as you recall the story, that miracle. The miracles in John's gospel are in themselves parable stories through which Jesus sought to teach and to teach them to them and to teach them to us, to teach something about the life of the Spirit, to teach about the life of faith, to teach about the life of worship and about the life that leads to joy. See, I almost started into that one, the life, but that's the message for next week. To get back, there in the miracle at the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus had met a great physical need of the hungry multitude. And soon after, the multitude came looking for Jesus again, and he used this experience of just having given them all the bread they needed to feed their hunger, the bread that is on a human level, in order to have them give him a hearing to reveal divine truths on a spiritual level. Christ insisted with them that he came into the world on as a much greater mission than that of merely satisfying the physical needs of people. He proclaimed himself to be a unique bread who came to meet their heart and soul needs. In his great claim to being the bread of life, our Lord used figurative language that identifies him with the manna that God had given through Moses. And while God gave the manna for only a limited time, he now provides spiritual bread on a continuing basis. And this is John 6:32 and 33 that we've read. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Spiritual bread. And it gives that life always, continuing. The living bread, Jesus, continues to provide nourishment and nutrition for the innermost being of all of those who trust him and all of those who look to him for grace and guidance in life in the here and now. Well, this additional and continuing provision of the bread is spoken of in some subsequent verses of John 9, over in verse 50 and 51. He said, "Here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." We know this is always a present need, hunger, since there is hunger in the world. There's a great physical hunger in the world today. You know, the population explosion has created vast multitudes in areas of the world where there's a scarcity of the essentials for human existence. And this is not just in areas of the world like rural India or mid-continent Africa, or currently, as we see very sadly, in Venezuela. But it's also in some great metropolitan areas of America where poverty has created almost famine conditions. Our federal and state governments, our churches, our parachurch organizations, such as locally Good Samaritan House and the Women's Center, these institutions are all faced with an urgent, daily, weekly challenge to feed the hungry. So these very worldwide, very real worldwide and local hunger conditions that present every Christian with both the invitation and a commission to be of help. Give some bread. But beyond the physical, there's an even greater spiritual hunger among all the nations of the earth. Everywhere there is a puzzling dissatisfaction within people's hearts. They feel incomplete. They don't know exactly how to identify it, but it is always and for all because they do not know God through Jesus Christ. But we know what it is, that empty and puzzling dissatisfaction. We know what that's all about because we do know Jesus. And we know the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we're not empty. We're not puzzled. Well, humankind is hungry today. There's a great hunger for truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen. There's a great hunger for a fulfilled and abundant life. And Jesus Christ is the only true source of that kind of life. There's a great hunger for love, and Jesus is the way, the channel, through which the love of God has come to us. And there's a great hunger for forgiveness, and the great sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary makes forgiveness possible for us. There's a great hunger for peace among people, and as the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ can help us to have the harmonious relationships that make for a real peace among almost all of the world all of the world is yearning for. And there's a great hunger for meaning and purpose in life. A great joy can come to those who follow the purposes of Jesus Christ. And there's always been a hunger for something beyond this life, for eternal life. Jesus Christ alone can give that eternal life. Jesus Christ alone can give that truth, that life, that love, that forgiveness, that peace, that meaning and purpose. All of those Jesus can give. And the food that is produced for the consumption of all people of this world does not satisfy the hunger of the soul. It does not satisfy the hunger of every living soul. You know, a barn full of grain can't satisfy the hunger of the soul. In Luke 12, verses 13 through 21 is a very descriptive parable of Jesus that I'm sure you remember. It's the rich man who had such an abundance that his barn couldn't hold all the grain. His hunger was a hunger of greed, a hunger he thought he could satisfy by himself. That's a self-fulfillment resulting in a life of just pleasure of having everything you want is a hunger that man alone cannot satisfy. Pleasure alone will quickly leave a sour taste in the mouth. Knowledge, as wonderful as it is, cannot satisfy the deepest hungers of the human heart. You know, the world recently witnessed the death of Stephen Hawking this year, one that many considered one of the smartest men in the world. And sadly, with all of his intellect and knowledge, Stephen Hawking died in March of this year, still searching to fulfill the hunger of his heart and soul because he believed he was too smart to accept a God he could not fully understand. And that illustrates very well that knowledge cannot satisfy the deepest hungers of the human heart. Power and position do not satisfy this deep hunger of the soul. Power can often be very frustrating. All you have to do is look at politics and what leadership there does to people, and you see that for them. There is never enough power. There is never a fully satisfying position. And that's only one example of the problems of power and position. So with neither pleasure nor knowledge nor power and position, none of those will be the bread to satisfy your hunger, how then do you gain satisfaction? And that, of course, for those of us who have found the answer, is answered by Christ, who is always filling. The living bread, the filling living bread sent from heaven. Humanity is made up of, it's completely populated with all humans created by God as a triad of heart and soul and spirit, all of whom are hungry for two primary reasons. Sin has made people hungry for God. To live a life of no faith is like trying to satisfy thirst by drinking dehydrated water. It's like trying to satisfy the hunger of the stomach by feeding on non-nutritional sand. Mm-hmm. It's like trying to find a sense of satisfying love for yourself by trying to have a rattlesnake fall in love with you and want to give you Christmas presents. On the other hand, there is full satisfaction of thirst at the streams of living water. Full satisfaction of love in the love presence of Christ, of his body and blood. Those are the love presence. His body and blood that we experience at every renewal of the Lord's Supper. Full satisfaction of hunger by the gift of the living bread. God has created us with a hunger for himself. God made us with a nature like his own, as testified at the very beginning of his Genesis 1 story to us. His word, made in his own image. And has placed within us a hunger that cannot be satisfied with anything except God himself. People try to satisfy this hunger by piling up money, or by studying books, or by enjoying all the pleasures that the world has to offer. But the God-shaped vacuum within the human soul cannot be satisfied with anything except a real, true, personal relationship with God himself. Amen. Amen. Christ is the bread sent from God to feed and fill us up with God to meet the deepest need of the human heart. Christ is the bread sent from heaven for all people. Christ is the bread of life available to even the chief of sinners. Christ is the bread of heaven available to the hungriest of the hungry, Christ is the bread of heaven available to the thirstiest of the thirsty. Christ is the bread of heaven available to the poorest of the poor. Christ is the bread of heaven needed by the best of the best among us. Christ is the bread of heaven who offers himself for the meanest of the mean among us. Christ is the bread from heaven that makes God-filled life possible. Without natural, normal bread, people could not live. And without the bread of life, people cannot know life with God. Christ is a bread that strengthens and nourishes and makes our spiritual growth and our development possible. It is He who gives vitality and strength to our moral muscles. Christ is the bread that satisfies perfectly. Jesus declared in the middle of the great Beatitudes that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the adequate and full nourishment, the bread to meet every spiritual need in our lives, crisis needs, growth needs, daily sustaining needs, you name it, any and all spiritual needs. And all of that is to say, we cannot live the natural life without bread, without some kind of that grain, wheat, whatever, bread. And we cannot live the spiritual life without the bread of life. Christ, as the living bread of heaven, is the best. Well, no, He is the only food upon which the soul can feed. Furthermore, this bread is a free gift from God and is congenial to the appetites of everyone who will come to Him. But Christ, as the living bread of heaven, is beneficial only to those who eat. You must eat. You must partake for yourself. You must have it as your own food. When our Lord speaks of eating of the bread, His flesh, He's referring to filling yourself with the reality of His incarnation, of His coming into the world as a visible manifestation of the love and the grace of God. When He speaks of drinking of, or in effect a spiritual swallowing down of His blood, He's really speaking of partaking of His life as in life's blood, which was given for us. And so as we trust Him, as we meditate on all that He came to do for us, and as we give ourselves in obedience to Him, we feast on the living bread from heaven. And we sing it. And I will sing it again with joy. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Amen. Feed me till I want no more.